You're listening to the Bottom Line podcast, where those living with or beyond bowel cancer, as well as health professionals involved in bowel cancer treatment and care, share their inspirational stories and lived experiences with host and bowel cancer survivor, Stephanie.
Australia now has the highest rates of early onset bowel cancer in the world. The statistics have been rising steadily over the past 30 years, and these stats are alarming. Today's guest is a cancer epidemiologist with over 25 years' experience. He has held many roles over this time, but currently heads up the colorectal cancer unit at Melbourne University, with a focus around early detection of bowel cancer and screening participation. Professor Mark Jenkins, thanks so much for joining me today on the Bottom Line podcast.
Thanks, Steph. Good to be here.
Our paths have crossed a little bit over the last probably 8 months or so. Particularly in June, you probably got a little bit bored of me because I constantly was calling you because your research took off like wildfire.
Certainly not sick of you. It's really good to work with Bowel Cancer Australia to try and get our research connected to what is most needed by people who have had bowel cancer or people who are relatives of people with bowel cancer. Always trying to make sure our research is most relevant, either clinically or on a population level. It's a disease that is intriguing for research because it's something that if you get it early, it is something that can be treated successfully. And so there's a lot of effort that we're putting in terms of research to try and get people to screen and to try and get early signs recognized very quickly, but also prevention and what's causing these cancers. If we can prevent them happening in the first place, of course, we remove a lot of the problems.
And I want to delve into some of those things in a moment because I think that's really relevant for people to understand and the work that you're doing. But before we get into that nitty-gritty and then into your research, can you just briefly describe, I suppose, in layman's terms, what your role is?
Yeah, so I'm an epidemiologist, as you mentioned, and I specialise in cancer research. So what we're interested in is trying to identify what is causing colorectal cancer, and we do that by comparing people who have colorectal cancer to people who have not had colorectal cancer. And then we look to see how they differ. It might be in their lifestyle. It might be in what they ate or drank. It might be whether they smoked or what medications they used. It might be how much exercise they do or their body weight. And by looking at all those things and comparing people with and without bowel cancer, it gives us a clue to what might be causing it. So that's epidemiology. So we look at populations of people rather than individuals only. And that's how we try and get clues. And then from our findings, once we find something that might be causing cancer, then it goes over to the molecular biology side of things to try and test whether that is actually a cause. So we're looking for patterns. I guess we're pattern studiers. Yeah.
And I suppose that leads in nicely to the research piece that you and your team have been working on, looking at early onset bowel cancer over the last 30 years. Can you talk us through that research and what patterns you did find? Because obviously there's lots of discussion recently, which is good news that people are now starting to talk about bowel cancer, but even fit, healthy people are getting bowel cancer. What did your research find?
So what we did is we looked at all the cancer diagnoses that happened between 1990 and 2020, so 30 years. And we got that data from the official government statistics. So some people might know that every cancer that's diagnosed in Australia is recorded in cancer registries. So there's one in each state. And we got the national data, which is a combination of all that data pulled together. So it's very good data. It's very good quality. It's very complete data. And what we looked at is we focused on the people under age 50. So diagnosed before age 50. And we call that early onset colorectal cancer or early onset bowel cancer. I worked with my colleague, Aaron Myers, and we did a statistical analysis of that data. And what we found is that over that past 30 years, there were about 28,000 people diagnosed with early onset bowel cancer. So that's roughly on average 1,000 people a year before age 50. And that's a lot, of course. It's nowhere near the number of people older than age 50 who are getting bowel cancer, but they have bowel cancer screening programs to try and protect those people.
Which I want to come back and speak to you about that.
Yeah, but what we also found is that it's getting worse every year. So the numbers are increasing for people under age 50. More and more people are diagnosed with early onset bowel cancer each year. And this is, of course, is particularly tragic because people in under age 50, what we say is they're in the rush hour of their lives. They're building careers, they're developing relationships, you know, raising families and so forth. And as you know, bowel cancer, even if you get it early, is still a big interruption to your life, and it still requires a lot of medical treatment. So that increase each year, if you looked at, if the numbers had stayed the same, we would have had 4,300 young people that would have not got bowel cancer. So that increase is responsible for an extra 4,300 people over that 30 years.
Which is substantial, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's for a country the size of Australia, that's a lot of people. And it's not only affecting them, of course, it's affecting their relatives. It's affecting their carers.
Mm.
It's something that we think needs to be focused on. You may not be able to work. The treatments are expensive. Some of those treatments are met by, of course, the individual, but some of the treatments are met by the health budgets. So we always say in you know, public health that prevention is much more cost effective than treatment. This is a major problem that it's increased so much.
And it's increasing by about, what was it, 8% per year?
Yeah, it depends which group you're looking at. It's interesting that the younger the age group, the more rapid the rise has been. So it is rarer in young. The younger you get, the rarer the cancers are. But the increase on those is greatest for the younger people, which is interesting. So the gradient is increasing more rapidly. It is increasing by, in some groups, 10% per year, some age groups and some sexes, whether it's male or female. The other thing I want to mention, though, it's not just Australia this is happening in. So this is happening worldwide. In America, it's happening. In Canada, in the UK, it's happening. In Asia, it's happening. That young onset bowel cancers are increasing from year to year. So there's something that's going on that's causing this increase.
And that's the big question, isn't it? It's the why.
Yes, because if we knew why, then we could maybe prevent it happening in the first place. Until you know why, you might guess what the reason is, and you might be trying to intervene for the wrong reasons. So if we can find out why, it'd be a huge leap in terms of, you know, preventing these early onset cancers.
Do you think that we invest enough dollars in bowel cancer research? You know, this is an important piece of research for us to understand that it has been increasing. It's not just anecdotal anymore. It is actually increasing. Do we invest enough dollars in bowel cancer research?
Well, of course, I'm biased because I'm a researcher.
Of course.
But no, the answer is no, we don't. And the investment in, or the government investment in medical research is been rather flat over the previous couple of decades. And there are many, many more researchers coming on board each year. There's more researchers that are available, or very intelligent people trying to solve problems. But given the relatively flat funding, it's more and more competitive each year. Bowel cancer is generally, I believe, underfunded compared to how important it is in Australia. A lot of people would not know that bowel cancer is causes the second most cancer deaths in Australia. It causes more deaths than breast cancer. It causes more deaths than prostate cancer. It's second only to lung in terms of cancer deaths. And most people wouldn't know that.
No, that's right.
And I think it's because we don't talk about it much. It doesn't get as much recognition. And I know Bowel Cancer Australia is working very hard to solve that. It needs to happen, though, because a lot of people aren't aware of it. And that lack of awareness has impacts on government funding, but it also has impacts on screening, too. If people don't think bowel cancer is a big problem in this country, then they're less likely to try and prevent it.
Beautiful segue, Mark. It's like you've done media before. Because the screening program, and you know, I've spoken to you about this, I'm very passionate about the screening program, and it is a wonderful program, but it's only a wonderful program if people do it. And the recent numbers that came out of AIHW, yes, it had a slight increase, but I would say that was nominal. An increase is good, but it really wasn't a great increase. We've still got, you know, close to 55% not doing the screening test. Why? I suppose. I think I know the answer to that, but I'd like to hear you. And then what can we do about that? It's an area that you're really passionate about.
I am passionate about it because it's such an effective way to reduce cancer and to detect it early. So it not only detects it early, it can prevent cancer too, because if you detect the precancerous lesions, they or growths or polyps, they can be removed. So you don't even get cancer at all. It's so effective. It's a very high quality program. The test itself is very accurate. It doesn't it, I must explain to people, this is the home test kit we're talking about that gets mailed to you by the government. It's free for you. The government pays for that. You do the test at home. You send the poo samples, the very small samples, back to the lab. They get tested for you. They'll give you the result very quickly. And if it's a positive result, it doesn't mean you have cancer. It just means you have to have a further investigation to find out what's going on.
I think that's a really important point, Mark.
Yeah.
I think people may be scared. A, there's the poo taboo, but it doesn't mean that if you get a positive that you've got cancer.
You're still unlikely to have cancer. But you're more likely than someone who tests negative. So we need to go and find out. You're right, it's a blood test. We need to go and find out why there's a bit of blood in your poo, some invisible blood you can't see. One of the reasons might be cancer, but there are other reasons as well. But it's important to investigate it to find out. So that's for people who do the test. For people who do not do the test, they're not protected at all. They could have a cancer they don't know about. They could have a polyp they don't know about. Yes, it might be scary to find out a positive result. But it's scarier still to find out you didn't detect it early.
It's much harder and much more taxing on your body, I can assure you, to find out you've got bowel cancer than to simply, dip the stick in the poo.
Yeah, yes.
We've got to get over that, don't we?
We do. It's a very simple test. Some people might think they might be squeamish about it, but look, we pick up after our dogs, we change babies' nappies or grandchildren's nappies. It's nothing compared to that.
Correct, absolutely.
And I encourage you, just try it once. Just try and do it, and you'll find out it's so simple. You'll wonder what the fuss was about in the first place. And we know that people that do it once, we know that almost 80% do it the second time because they realize how simple it is. So just try it once, I implore you. Yeah. So you're right, though. This is when you touched on the age. This is for people aged 45 to 74. It used to be 50 to 74, but last year it was increased to age 45. And that was because of the increase in young onset bowel cancer.
It's because we have seen an increase, but that cohort between 45 and 49 is quite important, isn't it?
It is. It's a large number of people in Australia. It's about 1.6 million Australians are aged between 45 and 49. They are now eligible for the bowel cancer screening program. Because it was just introduced, it's a little bit different for them. They have to request a kit.
We'll try and, when we're in Canberra, get the government to have it posted out.
They need to go to the website and ask for a kit to be sent to them. Whereas people 50 to 74 will get it automatically every 2 years. So it is different for the 45 to 49s, but they were included based on Australian guidelines. It was recommended that they do now screen for bowel cancer, included in the bowel cancer program, because of that increase over the last years. So that was a response to that. But for people under age 45, the risk of cancer for that group, even though it's been increasing, it's still not high enough to be included in the national program.
So can you explain for the layperson out there, because this is the question we get asked, and I obviously understand that it's population based, why you wouldn't open that up for, say, from 35? Because that's the question that many people ask.
It's a great question. We can't afford to screen everybody. The test is free for an individual, but it does cost the government money, and the government does have to decide where to spend their health budget. The other problem is, even though it's a good test, it's not 100% accurate. And if you're under aged 45 and we gave the test to everyone, say for age 40, what we would find is there would be a certain amount of people would be positive on that test, but almost none of them would have colorectal cancer, which means they would be having the follow-up test, which is a colonoscopy to investigate it, for almost no reason. So there would be a lot of unnecessary tests done after the home test kit, the colonoscopies, and those tests are expensive. They're also not without risk, those colonoscopies. people who've had a colonoscopy before know there's a quite a bit of burden involved. And overall, the analysis suggested it's not a high enough risk for people age under 45 to do that. Now, that's not for everyone, though. So I want to make a special statement here that if you have a family history of bowel cancer and the family history is close enough to you, you may be eligible for screening much younger than 45, depending on how many people in your family are affected. And that's because we know that those people are at elevated risk compared to their people of the same age. Those people maybe should be having tests and more intensive tests much younger than 45. For some people who we know are at elevated risk, they do deserve screening, and that screening is appropriate, and the guidelines recommend that. So for people with a family history, I recommend that they go and talk to their GP, and the GP will be able to tell them whether they qualify for more testing earlier than age 45.
And I think also, Mark, it's important to state that the screening program picks up blood. So if you already have blood, there is no point in doing the screening test.
That's a great point. The screening is for people without any symptoms. That's what screening's for. So if you have any symptoms, you talked about the test detecting blood, it detects invisible blood, blood you can't see. If you can see blood, that's not a screening test anymore. You should be going to the doctors to investigate what's happening there. That's a potentially serious problem. Other issues, as you said, other signs might be that you've lost weight and you don't know why, or you have tiredness for no obvious reason, or you've lost weight, or you have change in your bowel habits, either more constipated than usual or more diarrhea than usual, or even a combination of those things. You should go and see a doctor so they can rule out cancer or detect it if it's there. Screening's not appropriate for you if you have those symptoms. That's not what the screening program's about. Screening programs for people without any symptoms, but they might have some cancer inside that's just beginning, but not symptoms yet. So you're right. If you've got symptoms, don't rely on this screening test. Go and see a doctor.
Also, there's good news, and I think that's important to point out. The good news around the screening program, because we've seen that bowel cancer rates in those over 50 has fallen, which I think is a really important point to prove that, you know, when you do the test and the screening program, it does work.
It does. It's quite obvious when you look at we talked about the trends in people under 50, it's increasing each year. For people over 50, since the program began, the screening program, it's decreasing each year. We know it works. We know screening works. But again, it only works for people doing the test. So for the 55% of people that get sent the kit that don't do it, it's not protecting them.
Absolutely. So how do we get people to do the test, Mark?
Yeah. if I only knew, I know, I'd like to hear what your theories are, but if we only knew, then it would be something we could focus on to try and encourage people. We think there's a lot of reasons. We think some people are not doing it for some reasons and other people are not doing it for other reasons. I don't think it's a single reason why people are not doing the test.
No, I agree.
The other thing is you might say, why don't you just ask people why don't they do the test? Well, we do ask people and they give a lot of reasons. Some people say they think the test is not hygienic. When that's not true, the test is quite hygienic.
Their mobile phone would have more bugs on it than the test.
That's right. They might not be aware that bowel cancer is a serious issue in Australia. So they think, what have I got to do with this? Or they might say, why is the government sending me the kit? Why isn't my doctor involved? So there might be a bit of distrust of the government sending out medical tests, when in fact it does work. It's a good test. They might think they're afraid of finding out they have bowel cancer, and that's understandable, but it's actually good news if they find it because it means they found it early.
Mm.
It's great news if you find a positive result. Some people forget it. This is very common that people get the kit, it sits on their kitchen bench or it sits on their bedroom table. You know, the chest of drawers with their clothes in it just sits there. And what we recommend for people is to put it near the toilet. So when you're sitting on the toilet, there's the kit. Do it. Yeah, while it's there. So there's lots of reasons. We're trying to find out more about that and trying to come up with some better ways maybe the kit could be delivered or some messaging with the kit?
Well, the government recently, which I think is a great program, and I had a number of people say, oh my God, this is amazing, they sent an SMS message out to the 45 to 49 cohort as a reminder. And we are changing. I mean, I don't go to my letterbox for days on end, quite frankly, unless I know I'm going to get, you know, something that I've ordered online is about to arrive. So we're changing, aren't we?
We are. The program's using SMSs as a reminder for people who don't send the kit. That's great that that's helpful. The program is looking at trying to increase the rate of participation because they know that's key to the success of this program.
Mark, I just want to flip back to your research. Why is it important that the government invests in your type of research and how does that impact the everyday Joe Blow?
Okay, so let's focus on trying to find the cause, especially for people with young onset or early onset bowel cancer. There are a lot of theories about what the cause for this early onset is. So for a start, we think that cancer takes about 20 years to develop. 10 to 20 years to develop. So if people are getting cancer in their 40s, it might mean something that happened to them in their 20s. If people are getting cancer in their 30s, it might have been something that happened to them in their teens. So we're thinking about what might have changed 20 years ago that's causing the cancers now. So if we think back what's changed, they might be good candidates to what might be causing the increase. But it's complicated because lots of things have changed, right?
It's multifactorial, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness. So many things have changed in our lives.
That's why you do what you do and I do what I do. I'm not smart enough for this.
Well, we start off by thinking what's changed and whether they could have caused cancer. So there was a lot of work done on increases in obesity. So we know that obesity is a risk factor for cancer. It's not a strong risk factor, but it is a risk factor. That when I say risk factor, it doesn't mean everyone that's obese gets cancer, or it doesn't mean that everyone that had cancer was obese. Not at all. It just means there's a correlation there. Not a strong correlation, but there's a correlation. So has obesity increased over the past 20 years in young people, in teenagers and young people? What has? But we don't think that that increases or the connection between obesity and cancer is strong enough to explain the increase. Might explain a little bit of the increase, but it's not going to explain most of it. So it's probably not obesity. But what else has changed? We have different diets than we used to. We have different preservatives, for example. We have different way the food is processed. There's a lot of concern about microplastics, which you might have heard about. So these are microscopic amounts of plastic. You can't see them. They're microscopic. And maybe that's got something to do with cancer risk. There's chemicals that everyone worries about now, forever chemicals or PFASs that are used in production. They may be getting into our systems. Maybe that's reason cancer's increasing. And I must say, it's not only bowel cancer that's increasing. Some other cancers are increasing too. Not all cancers, but some of them. And so maybe there's a connection that what we're looking for is carcinogens or carcinogenic factors that are causing bowel and other cancers. It may be due to changes in our microbiome. So this is the bacteria that live in your gut. And you mentioned you've spoken to Dan Buchanan, a researcher, and he's very much focusing on that avenue, the microbiome. These are usually healthy bacteria that live in your gut. We need them there. But if you get that imbalance between healthy and unhealthy, maybe that's affecting it. And some of those factors I talked about before, changing diet, microplastics, those forever chemicals, maybe they're changing the microbiome. And by that avenue, maybe we're getting cancer. It could be due to antibiotics that we have as a child. So antibiotics can also change your microbiome. It could be due to, some people have even hypothesized, maybe it's something to do with the way you are born. So cesarean births rather than vaginal births, maybe that's something to do with the way it affects your microbiome and your risk of disease later in life, not just cancer, but other diseases. And you can already see that I'm mentioning lots and lots of factors. Now, we can't, it's not a good thing to do is to change our exposure to all those factors to try and reduce bowel cancer because it's not a very targeted way of doing it. If we knew which of those factors was causing the increase, then we could target all our efforts to maybe prevent exposure to those to reduce bowel cancer risk. And so the research we're trying to do is trying to find out which of those factors is causing cancer.
And that's why it's so important. I think people, we don't know what goes on behind, you know, those doors. We see it on the news with a little white lab coat and we don't really know. It's a mystery. But that's why it's vitally important that we invest in the sort of research that you're doing along with other research to find a cure, because we need to know what came before us, don't we?
Yes. The exciting thing about research is it is an exciting discipline. Yeah, you get to find out things no one have found out before, and it's you're motivated by helping people. But research is expensive. Most of the expense is employing scientists to find out. People think that a lot of research costs are machines, or technology. It's mostly people. You're employing people to do this work, and it takes years of work, and it takes teams of researchers to find this. Unfortunately, we spend a lot of our life writing applications for funding rather than doing science, because we need those dollars to keep going. And I know that Balcancer Australia is very good at trying to increase funding so this work can go on, spending some of their time doing this work so scientists can spend more time doing the research at the other end.
And I think it's important for the public to understand how it connects. And you said that right at the beginning, is that you're not sitting there in a vacuum doing this.
I find that the most rewarding research is research that people want done, whether that's clinicians who don't know how to treat someone, or whether it's health workers, health policy people that want to prevent something happening in the world. If you can find out what their interests are and what drives them, it's much more... It's important that research is relevant, I guess that's the word, relevant to what's needed. It's also much more rewarding if you're doing research that you know is going to be relevant to people now and in the future as well.
Mark, this has been a really great podcast, and I think you and I could speak forever. But to wrap up, what would be the three things that you would want people to take away from today's podcast?
I'll try and think of three. I might name four.
If you've got a few more, that's okay.
Firstly, I think people should be aware that screening is very important and it's effective and you should do it. So for people who are age 45 to 74, do the test or request a test if you're 45 to 49 and do it. It's simple. It only takes a couple of minutes. It's much more effective than anything else I've mentioned. So It's easier to do and more effective than losing weight, changing your diet, changing the way you live. It's much more effective than that. Do the screening. Secondly, know that although bowel cancer is something you might not have heard before, it is a very important cancer. As I said, it's the second most deadly cancer. It causes the second most deaths in Australia. It causes more deaths than breast cancer, more deaths than prostate cancer, second only to lung cancer. So we need to do a lot of research to find out why that's so, what's causing the disease. Thirdly, to let people know that scientists and researchers are working very hard to try and find out what the causes for early onset cancers are, because if we can find the cause, then we can target that cause, try and remove it, or get people to avoid it so we don't get these cancers happening in the first place, because prevention is much more effective than cure. So I guess support research, but also look after yourself by doing screening. And very important, look out for symptoms.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
If you've got any symptoms, the ones we talked about before, go and see your doctor.
Absolutely. Know you're normal. And if it's strayed from that normal, then go and see a GP.
Yes.
Mark, I think you and I could chat all day. Thank you for joining us today on the Bottom Line podcast. Thank you for all your work and your team's work around the research you're doing at the Melbourne University and the Colorectal Cancer Unit. It is really starting to put bowel cancer on the map. I hope we get more dollars for bowel cancer research, and I thank you for joining us today and sharing your thoughts.
Thanks, Debbie.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bottom Line podcast. To find out more about bowel cancer or for support or simply to donate, please go to bowelcanceraustralia.org.